Line in Business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning, and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is MDM. Is it an IT or a business challenge? Our guests for today's show are Robert Frederick, Aaron Zones, and Jim Hunter-Kemp. Robert is the Vice President of Enterprise Data Architecture at Equifax. Aaron Zorns is the Chief Research Officer of the MDM Institute. And Jim is the CIO with the Hillman Group. Good morning, panel. Welcome to the show.
Morning.
Morning,
panel. Good morning.
So how did the first quarter go? Did we enjoy it? Did we see the economy going through a recession? Is that what's happening there?
So I think we are seeing as companies making more wise spend versus less spend. I think there's more of an emphasis on doing the right things and doing the right things that yield the kind of return that is tangible versus a longer-term, looser purse approach to the spending. But I don't think it's a general turndown as much as a refocus on the right spending.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think at the Hillman Group we are, there's a big push to work smarter, and get more done with less, and that's reflected in the way we spend our IT dollar as well.
And with the MDM Institute, we just came off of our big conference in San Francisco. We're headed out to London next week. And what we saw was a slight tick down in conference attendance based on some of the restrictions for corporate travel. But the people that attended our events definitely were still involved in what we characterize as strategic IT spend. That is, these companies knew they had to do, they had to continue or they had to begin executing on their master data management strategies.
Now, the topic of MDM, basically master data management, we know that that whole approach, or at least an effort, not a very, you can say, organized effort was going on, but we always wanted to have one unified view of customer, products, employees, vendors, things of that nature. But never caught on as much as we suddenly have seen in the last 6 months to 1 year. So what do you think is causing this new wave, if you will? Robert?
Well, I think, Sanjo, the thing that is different in the last, I would actually say, 12 to 18 months is that the businesses are realizing that it is a management problem. It is not an IT problem. It is not a data management from a database warehousing BI standpoint problem. What it really is a critical building block in making the management decisions that any business needs to make, things like customer profitability, customer segmentation, product profitability, procurement, vendor analysis, spend analysis. Those are all critical business management type decisions. Without master data management, become impossible to answer. So I think what's been happening in the recent year to 2 years is that the business side of our enterprises are realizing that their fundamental management questions that they're facing require a level of discipline around master data management. Otherwise, that kind of analysis is simply impossible, and that kind of insight into how you run your business just can't be gained.
Aaron?
Yes, I would say I totally agree in the sense that know your customer compliance, whether it's Basel II for enterprise risk management, which wasn't done well by certain companies, or know your customer for Office of Foreign Assets Control, USA Patriot Act, et cetera. These are all business issues, that if you don't do them, you have financial considerations, licensing, the regulatory controls, et cetera. And likewise, the ability to cross-sell, upsell to your existing customers across product lines is something we always wanted. And we were doing it somewhat with homemade or custom-made systems to do that, and the software simply caught up with the requirements, if you like, in terms of real-time access to master data as opposed to batch-like access. And then likewise, the ability to deal with mergers and acquisitions. Right now, a good number of companies I've talked to are looking at M&A as a requirement to help drive their or help justify their master data management investments, because they know that if they can merge in another customer base, another product base, et cetera, when they acquire another bank or retailer or airline, et cetera, it makes a lot of business sense.
Jim?
Yeah, for us, it was completely driven by customer requirements. We're a distributor. We supply a large number of SKUs to the big box retailers, and they're all getting on the global data synchronization bandwagon, and they're imposing requirements on us as far as our data, and there was just no way for us to comply with those requirements without an MDM initiative to support that.
Now, all the reasons that we're told which kind of brought this MDM to the surface are something which is very obvious, and I guess we've got some seasoned executives on the board of most of these companies. So what exactly triggered this? I mean, did we not want to do business in the most optimized manner earlier and suddenly we want to?
No, it's not that. It's just that, among other things, we said there's regulatory compliance like we've never had it before. In certain industries, you know, the financial services industries, and likewise, the need to deal with more complex supply chains, the ability to share customer data or product or supply data, you know, a proven master source across the supply chain with your business partners has made it even more compelling. And then likewise, the ability to do all this more efficiently to drive out some of the costs of manual customer master data management, for example, or product data management, and likewise the ability to ratchet up levels of service. Now, we're in highly competitive industries these days where we have to provide better degrees of service by truly understanding the customer. And then you add to that the need to grow into the Middle East or Chinese markets where we don't really understand the business hierarchies that exist there or the households, for example. So this all provides some challenges for the status quo that we had in master data management before.
I think in addition to that, Sanjay, what you see is that a lot of certainly North American and European markets are maturing in a way that the business model of just getting more customers in the door is becoming less and less prevalent. What you really see are customers with in a mature marketplace with a finite number of customers, and in order to maintain profitability and revenue growth, you need to look at additional services, additional solutions you can provide to your customers, and it's putting a new emphasis on cross-selling and upselling and share of wallet and customer penetration and things that, quite frankly, CRM promised, you know, a decade ago, but without the underlying data could never actually deliver, that now you're seeing an increased pressure to actually maximize profit per customer and maximize your revenue per customer in a way that we hadn't seen before, simply because the markets are maturing across all industries.
Yeah, and when you're dealing with low-cost commodities like we are, you need some type of differentiator. As you know, a Home Depot or a Lowe's will go to the typically the lowest cost supplier unless you can provide a higher level of service or respond to some requirements that they're imposing. And very quickly. So I think the efficiency and the flexibility factor become a big issue here.
Talking about the silos that we ourselves create, and that is for a good purpose in a way, where we say that we want to build a line of business kind of management where we focus our efforts, whether it's people, processes, or technology, or the data that is created. It is so focused so that each line of business shows its own P&L. And that's why we ended up creating those silos, and now we are saying rip that apart, come back to be to a unified model. So are we jeopardizing our core competencies, or we are going to lose competitive advantage just because someone wants to put MDM? So whatever you'll gain out of MDM will be lost because now you have or you cannot have the line of business model, or can we say we can eat the cake and have it too at the same time?
Well, Aaron here. We're not looking at establishment, centralized, super control over the individual units in an organization. What we're looking at is sharing and harmonizing master data, and you have to make that compelling from a business reason. You know that the central repository of Clint's master data is the best source for financial data or for name, address, marital status, lifestyle, et cetera type data or lifetime value, et cetera. So the idea is that we don't have to go to a super centralized model where everything's in one database. In fact, that's sometimes financially or legally undoable or even physically undoable. So the technologies now are better enabled to support a federated model, for example, where you leave the data where it is and you take the best source of this piece of master data and the best source of that piece and aggregate them on the whole, okay, into a repository and share them across the business. So we're not talking about removing control. You know, we're talking about data stewardship, data trusteeship, et cetera, as opposed to super control in a centralized fashion. I mean, you can still go centralized if you want, but we don't have to go that route.
Aaron, I agree with you 100%, but we kind of took a different approach. We did go to centralized route. We had four different transactional systems that had item master information. We needed a single source of the truth, so we centralized things. But what we did was, using workflow, we assigned ownership of specific item attributes to, say, marketing or operations, and they continued to own the those particular attributes, but it was in one central location. It really kind of drove efficiency throughout the entire organization.
That's what I was trying to say in terms of trusteeship. The different groups, line of business, whatever you want to call them, own their pieces of data or are trustees, but the system will rationalize and harmonize the best pieces that represent the best source into one aggregated master record, you know, in a central repository still.
Right.
It's not like they physically aren't being joined together. I agree with that.
Yep. I think what you see, Sandra, is that it's not a one approach fits all. Master data is not a thing you either have or don't have or do or don't do. There are varying levels of maturity that make sense for varying subject areas. So from a customer standpoint, what may make most sense is to leave the majority of your referential data within the LOBs or within your business units and share and consolidate and harmonize a very small subset. We're talking about, you know, a dozen, two dozen attributes about that customer that really are critical to be mastered across the organization. Where in another subject area like product, you may have a case where you need to consolidate the entire reference library for all of your products across the organization so that every business unit that you deal with internationally has the exact same set of reference attributes about that data. So what it really comes down to is identifying which subject area you're working with and then what level of maturity do you need. Do you need something at the lower scale that says we're going to create a reference link and do nothing as far as storing data centrally other than a link that says, well, you call customer A and you call customer B. Really, both of you are talking about the same customer, and we're going to call them customer C. So just creating that very rudimentary relationship, which allows for roll-up of revenue or roll-up of costs or allocation of either of those things. Or when you want to go to the extreme to say, we're going to have a golden pot solution where if you want to see who your products are, who your employees are, there's only one place in the entire company that it exists, and you need to use API or SOA or any of those things to actually get the data from that every single time you want to use it. The reality is there's no right answer for everybody. You need to look at which subject areas you're working with and then what level of maturity will give you the best cost-to-value return, because it's very expensive to go the golden pot route when really in many cases all you need is a referential link or maybe a list that contains all of your customers. So you can definitely find a balance between having all the critical master data centralized while still allowing your business units or lines of businesses to maintain their unique specific reference data within their own domains.
So if you were to look back, say, a decade ago and maybe even earlier, we used to have this concept of enterprise data model or enterprise data architecture, and it's been there all along. So how was that different based on your definition of MDM solution implementation? How is that different from that other approach? Because as a business, we all like to keep the things which are always for a quick reference as one central repository, and something which is very transaction specific, which is very LOB specific, we keep it customized to that. So we have been doing that. Are we just repackaging and rebranding into MDM now?
This is Jim. I think to some degree maybe we are. I think in the enterprise approach, if you have a single ERP system, I think you in effect have that MDM. But and I think in most cases, in most companies, you don't have a single system driving the entire company. So you have disparate data sources representing the same entity. And I think MDM might just be an attempt to kind of bring that back home, so to speak.
I think, I mean, you saw that, you know, over the last decades, anyone trying to build a large data warehouse or any kind of consolidated application like an Oracle Financials or any large-scale system like that, where you have the concept of master reference tables. I mean, that is not a new concept. I think what is new is the fact that It's no longer something that IT purely does to be more efficient in how they build those large-scale systems or operate those large-scale systems. It has now come to the forefront as being a critical building block in answering business questions, and that without that, the business can't make certain management decisions that it otherwise could make. So I think the concept is not new. The concept has been there. I think what is new is that business now has a higher degree of skin in the game, which necessitates more governance structure, stewardship structure, and more process structure around how you actually maintain the content so that it meets business expectations.
And as was characterized earlier by one of the gentlemen, not all the data in that so-called enterprise data model needs to be shared or harmonized across the organization. There's a subset that, if you like, you could call a registry or, you know, Uber Hub or overlay that the organization may share across its units. And on the other hand, some companies or organizations may find it better to consolidate as much data as they can, just like they consolidate SAP instances or data marts into an enterprise data warehouse. And so, it's based upon your organizational structure as a company, as well as your ability to execute on some of this.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and try to tackle this business problem where, when we are talking to a business user or within a business unit, they somehow have this territorial nature sometimes where they would call their data to be special and they say they should not be part of this MDM initiative. So this is a typical issue that we are facing while our organizations are trying to go through this MDM overhaul. So let's see how this could be tackled and what education can be imparted to these people for them to relent and allow you to go about doing your job. So let's talk more when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
Talk about his money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit ciodecisions.com/subscribe1.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Self-leadership is an important part of corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Wachovia Bank, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjay Gall.
Welcome back. As we are going about this MDM initiative, we are dealing with business unit leaders and or business users who claim that their data is special. They are basically territorial because they don't want anyone encroaching their space and try to take away the control they have. And we have to go about understanding what the data is, what the process flow is, how is the data generated, created, disposed, etc. How do you deal with this typical business adoption issue for this new initiative? Robert?
Well, I think one of the things that you find is that a lot of organizations undergo MDM efforts without having the C-level sponsorship that really is required for this. I mean, if you approach MDM as an IT project, as an exercise in managing data better, you're going to have challenges from your business users that simply don't see the value in spending their time acting as a data steward or their time helping you improve the content of the data or the quality of the data because they don't see what's coming out of it. I think what really makes it successful is when you can have that elevator conversation, you know, that, you know, you have three floors to convince someone and you have a C-level executive on the elevator with you, and they ask you about master data, and you don't answer in a way that we're pulling together data from all across the organization. You can answer in a way that says, what we're doing enables us to cross-sell across our entire business unit and our entire book of business from a product standpoint, or it allows us to look at profitability, or we're enabling, you know your customer, or we are enabling a vendor and procurement spend that's going to cut X percent off of our bottom line while getting the same services. So when you can take it out of the context of it's just a better way to manage your data and put it in the context of we have fundamental C-level management issues that we cannot answer unless we have master data management in place, then what you find is sponsorship and support coming from the top of the organization that says, you know what, I'm a CFO and I need to know customer profitability. And if one of the things I need to do to get to that is master data management, then that's an effort I'm going to support. So I think a lot of efforts don't go to the appropriate level within the organization to get that buy-in and to get that critical sponsorship that is needed to sustain an effort like this going forward.
Now, before we go and get some other guests' feedback, I wanted to challenge that right there because we see that if we can get, even if we get sponsorship from upper management, a person who is at the lowest level of the chain of command, person who's a business user, he could always create obstacles, and I'm not sure if somebody is going to get fired because he's being difficult.
Absolutely. So I don't think it's a question of getting someone fired. I think it's a question of taking the value that your representatives at the C-level understand now because of what you're enabling and translating that to the managerial and the lower levels from the organization, coupled with what we talked about earlier, which is you don't come in like the 800-pound gorilla and say, all of your reference data is now gone. We're going to replace it with master data. You got to get on board and use ours, and that's what it is. That doesn't work in any organization that I've ever been at. The reality is that there is a set of reference data that is only pertinent to that business unit or that department or even that application that doesn't need to be replaced, doesn't need to be ripped out and supplanted with master data. So finding that balance with those users to say, we're not going to destroy what you do today. We're not going to rock your world. We're going to find a way to take what you do and tie it together with like information from across the organization so that we can gain additional insight. It's not a question of, you know, we're going to take all your data and then you won't be a useful part of this organization anymore. Quite the contrary. You're going to be the data steward for your part of this larger picture. And making sure that they understand that it is not a case of replacing what they have today, and that in addition to the fact that this is something that will allow your boss and your boss and your boss's boss to answer fundamental management questions, I think you can overcome most of those challenges.
Yeah, I think there's a strategic side to this and a tactical side. And I think Robert was kind of addressing more the strategic side with the C-level support and so forth. On the tactical side, you know, low-level managers, individual contributors, they're worried about the day-to-day issues, and at least the way we addressed it here was that they continue to own the attributes of an item that they've always owned. So that part didn't change. They weren't responsible for other attributes that weren't related to them. So just in a very practical, day-in, day-out kind of way, it really didn't change what they were doing. It just added a level of process flow and really security around the value or the integrity of the data in the database.
And Aaron here, from an industry analyst perspective, I think there's at least two variations that play to all this. One is that we have, again, the notion of sharing data, that we all need trusted sources of reference data, whether it's Axiom for consumer demographics or whether it's Dun & Bradstreet for corporate hierarchies and corporate risk, et cetera. So to make those trusted sources some of your internal sources, I mean, that's simply a maturation of your IT infrastructure in that sense. So clearly you have to make a better case in terms of providing better reference data within your organization at that corporate IT level for some of these attributes of customer or product. And secondarily, I do see that some companies make this a board-level strategic decision that we're going to have one view of the customer, okay, across our divisions, and you will work together. And then they'll bring in the consultancies, you know, the tier one consultancies to perhaps optimize the processes, the data governance steering councils or committees or structures to help execute that. But they can come on down high from executive management that this is a one view initiative that we're going to execute on.
Yeah, I think Aaron just raised an excellent point, and one of the things that I know here at Equifax, as well as other organizations I've been at, has been a tremendous help is when you have an external reference source that you can use. So you're not just reliant on business unit A and business unit B coming together and agreeing that, you know, this customer is this customer, and no, I want to call them a different name, and you want to call them a different name. Being able to overcome some of that animosity between business units by leveraging an external data source like an Austin Tetra or like some of the other providers that are out there that can say, you know what, here's what this company or this entity is in the marketplace. Aside from what your silo has called it over the last 2 years, take that data and add it to it. So layer it on top of it. So you can, within business unit A, still call them customer A, and within business unit B, call them customer B. But in reality, the persistent record or the persistent key that an external source like an Austin Tetra adds to it is the legal entity name. It is the doing business name, as it's the physical address location, things like that nature. And you can find a way to layer it on top. And what I've found is that when you have an external provider that can give that kind of data content and even the service of saying, let's look at your customers and actually match them up and give you a master list of what we see in your customer base, that becomes something that your end users actually rally around quite readily, because they all know that there are quality issues within the data. In any organization, any business unit, there are quality issues. And when you can use a trusted outside supplier of that kind of data, it helps them improve the quality of what they're working with. So they see it not as a, you're overriding what I'm doing. They see it as a, you're helping me get better in what we have. And what I found a lot of times, the folks that become the data stewards are people that have been complaining about a lot of this stuff for years and just haven't been heard. And they actually welcome an initiative at the enterprise level to say, we're going to look at this as a company and not just as a silo. So a lot of times you have, you know, quite the opposite. You have people rallying around you saying, oh, thank God someone's finally looking at this, because I've been complaining about it for the last 10 years that I've been here.
Now, we are talking about MDM initiative taking multi-year, because especially, you know, if you're going to turn this 800-pound gorilla, which is your organization, around, it definitely it's not going to be an overnight effort. And whether it's a business change or it is an IT-related change, we do not have as much patience yet. I mean, we have actually lost our patience over the years. We don't want to have these multi-year efforts. So is there a creative way by which we can, MDM with MDM, we can see some quicker results and good enough results for the executive management while they believe in this to also start seeing the ROI up front so that they keep their checkbooks open? Let's talk more about this when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
State Investing. Join your hosts Rosie Nieto and Pete Mendenhall, who both come from the inner world of the real estate investors clubs and seminars. With this insider's view, you get to learn what it takes to be a successful real estate investor. Join us for the Naked Investors, the bare truth about real estate investing, every Wednesday at noon Pacific. That's 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjay Gall.
Talking about boiling the ocean, which is with reference to this MDM initiative, and we know that executive management does not have all that patience left because of all the different issues that we've had in IT and business initiatives not doing as well or having less than stellar results. So if we are going to have this MDM initiative kick off in our organization, how can we possibly provide some very quick results which are good and they show some good ROI for them to keep the checkbooks open and keep going ahead with it versus a big bang multi-year effort? Jim?
You know, for us, it was a six-month effort from concept to going live with the application. And during that process, we were struggling with trying to manage multiple spreadsheets and other archaic means of coming up with the kind of data that we felt had the level of quality that we could publish to the data pools that our customers were requiring us to publish to. So, you know, a six-month effort while we were kind of bleeding on the other end was a pretty straight line from start to finish. We at Hillman really didn't have any issue as far as keeping senior management engaged and keeping the pocketbook open to achieve that goal.
Just because it was 6 months effort, right? I mean, would you think most initiatives would be, you know, as small? Or would it take less of time?
Again, we came at this from a very practical point of view. We weren't in the land of theory. We had a very acute business issue that we had to address, which really kind of drove us in this direction.
I think Jim is pointing out the exact same thing that I've seen at a number of organizations, which is when you have a burning platform, a critical business need, whether it's product integration and management, whether it's customer profitability, whether it's cross-sell, upsell, when you have a burning platform that's something the organization wants to get done, it doesn't have to be a multi-year effort to see results. And I would actually say if you're spending more than 6 months, you may be taking on way more than you can actually digest as an organization. I mentioned the different levels of maturity earlier. I've seen companies go the, you know, multi-million dollar software, hardware implementation, trying to build the golden pod, trying to have the entire global enterprise that they represent have everyone using the exact same complete master set of all customer data, and you can literally spend yourself into the millions, and it takes many years to actually get to that. What I've seen to be more successful is looking at it from a maturity standpoint and say, master data is not something that we do once and then we're done. We're going to be doing it for as long as we are in business. Let's find the right level of maturity that we need to be operating at. And for some subject areas, that may be as simple as a reference link where you say, we just want to find a way to tie all of our customers or all of our suppliers, all of our vendors together so that I can get a complete picture of who they are, right? And those kind of efforts are not multi-year efforts. You can do those kind of reference link efforts which allow you to get to, you know, profitability and customer roll-up or vendor spend analysis. You can get that in 6 months, you know, quite easily. And I think actually that's the more solid approach, because what you do is you prove the concept of MDM. You prove that you can tie this data together and now glean business insight that wasn't there before. And then going back to the well to say, well, now if you want us to actually build a complete master list and add content to it by, you know, purchasing some external data sources for marketing or by, purchasing some, you know, vendor spend analysis software which will allow us to optimize that. It's a different conversation because you've proven the concept. You've shown results, and the pocketbook will stay open at that point.
I would agree with Robert in that, in particular, I'd like to add some color to that in that the last 12 to 18 months, as an analyst at these conferences and the surveys we do, et cetera, we've seen a move from silos of master data management, where it be customer or product or location or pricing reference master, into more price MDM view by these large companies, Fortune 1000 size companies, where they know they don't want to have the so-called random acts of MDM. Because if they do that, then they're going to, you know, paint themselves into a corner when it comes to rationalizing processes that want to integrate customer or product with pricing, et cetera. And so, again, to give it a trite thing, I would say, you know, think MDM, act CDI, where CDI is customer data integration. Think MDM, act CDI would be where most companies feel customer master data is the real pain point for them. And so rather than do all the master entities up front, they will start with customer data integration. And rather than doing all customer data, they will focus on things such as global spend analysis, which we just heard about again, or such things as cross-sell, upsell, you know, unified view of the customer for customer service, for self-directed service, et cetera, et cetera. So absolutely, it's not, you know, roil the ocean, but it definitely is to keep an eye on the longer-term horizon where we don't want to paint ourselves into a corner again, and we don't want to mislead ourselves thinking that Siebel-type applications will integrate everything, or the SAP will integrate ERP with the front office. You know, we felt this problem where we may have integrated front office, you know, sales, marketing, service somewhat, and we may have integrated the back office, accounting, you know, logistics, et cetera, but we haven't integrated those two worlds. So definitely, in the long-term picture, we're looking at integrating everything, but we have to take it off in manageable chunks.
Now, we all spoke about the fact that, you know, we have a pressing issue, so in order for us to fix that, we can go and executive management will give us all the support and sponsorship, and we can get that done in 6 months. Now, as organizations who want to be having competitive advantage and they want to be ahead of the curve, are they not supposed to be proactive? So should we be actually waiting for that pressing issue to come up for us to go about, and that's only when we will have the 6 months turnaround?
I think it's going to be hard to get the kind of commitment from your organization it takes to do data governance and data ownership and data stewardship without having that kind of a business issue that's pressing to the forefront. I think from an IT standpoint, I don't know how you would make this successful running it as a purely IT effort to try to get ahead of the business.
Not even as IT, even as a business, we know that if you were to do this today, and we will have a much quicker, you know, action, or we will have our company becoming agile. You know, we speak a lot about this term agile. And if we really could do the 6 months, you know, war footing kind of effort, yeah, keeping in mind that, okay, in 6 months we will be ahead of our competitors versus a reactionary approach, then that's the ideal state. And, of course, we all try to strive and reach that ideal state. But it seems like that people will only move when there is something hammering on them.
I think, generally speaking, you're right. If there's not a pain point, yeah, it's going to be hard to keep a focus on it. There's always, you know, multiple initiatives going on, and typically the one that's causing the most pain is going to get the most attention, and that's certainly the way it worked in our case.
You definitely don't want to sell this as an infrastructure upgrade.
Right.
You're solving business problems that are top of mind business problems.
So you would recommend people actually wait for that pain point to occur before they would take on this MDM initiative?
Well,
I'm not saying
you want to wait for it, but I think your chances of getting funding are probably much more likely if there's some pain being felt somewhere that this is going to address directly.
And I think if you interact with the business leadership, you will hear the objectives that they set for themselves, and if you can show how without master data management, they will have the difficult, if not impossible, time of actually trying to reach some of those business objectives, then it's not a question of there being a burning platform. You can just say what you want to do with your business will be enhanced or enabled by this master data management effort. So there's certainly ways that you can bring it to the forefront before someone in a senior leadership meeting stands up and says, you know, why aren't my customers integrated? I mean, you can certainly get ahead of that to some degree.
Next thing is to look at the golden record that we want to create for MDM. And that's what the whole deal is all about, is to create that one unified view, and that would result in some golden records, which gives you everything in one place. When we look at the reality on ground, we want to get the transactions completed, you know, as quickly as possible, because that's also a performance measure. So how do we, again, have this Catch-22 resolved?
Well, Aaron here, I'll take that one for starters. When you look at the state of the technology today, what we've realized over the last N number of years that we cannot use systems such as Hogan Banking or Continuum Insurance or Siebel CRM as our golden source, because those systems have too many hot points and will choke. Instead, it makes more sense to have specialization, just like we have specialized analytics through our enterprise data warehouses. Well, we have specialized transactional systems for golden source type reference data, and that's what we're building out. And it doesn't have to be all in one location. It can be aggregated on the fly. Some information will be generated in batches, simply shared across the organization, such as customer lifetime value or next best offer, and so on. So it's really a sense that we've gotten to the point where the software architecture, in addition with a service-oriented architecture, enterprise service bus, and all that good stuff, has also helped organizations understand the need to share as on a services basis such things as identify customer, promote customer, retire customer, et cetera.
Anyone? Does anybody have anything to add with respect to how do you handle this challenge of a golden record?
Yeah, Sandra, I go back to the maturity level, the maturity model I referred to earlier, which is, you know, at the early stages of your master data management effort, you may not need to create a golden record, right? So you may not have to have a golden record that says, this is the name of the customer, even though my five different business units all disagree on how to spell it. It may be enough to say, you know what these five different groups call five different things, we're at least going to link them together so that I can roll them up. So the golden record tends to be, you know, a little bit like that golden part at the end of the rainbow, which is what a lot of people think of what they need to get to with master data, but they realize that a lot of the analytics and a lot of the modeling and a lot of the answers that Aaron just referred to, you can actually get to without having a single golden record for every customer. You can do that by having reference links between your various sources and having a certain set of shared you know, gold-like attributes, if you will, like legal entity name, for example. You know, something that people can't really have a different agreement on, that is the legal entity name. So there's certainly ways that you can come up with master data management that yields valuable results without having to create one single golden record for each of those. And if you do get to that point, there certainly are a number of very mature tools in the marketplace that, whether you're looking at consumer or commercial data, allow you to, you know, identify which one should be the golden record, which element to keep, which one is most like what's in the real world. There are a number of great tools you can do to use that. And we talked earlier about even the availability of external reference data, which can be used as your quote-unquote golden record. So you can actually use a third-party list, you know, to give you that these are the golden record, and all of these internal records relate up to it. So the concept of having to supplant the various versions of the truth with one golden truth is something that I think got a lot of early MDM efforts in trouble with the business units because it sounds a little too big brotherish.
Jim?
Yeah, I would agree with what Robert said, but maybe add a little twist to it. Again, here at Hillman, we have created a single point of truth, that golden record. But what we do is, on a nightly basis, we synchronize our transactional systems with that golden record. So we are, in effect, basically, over time, synchronizing all of our applications with that single point of truth. And that seems to work quite well for us.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and talk about the readiness check that an organization can do before they can say, yes, we are ready for MDM, yes, we have the right people, processes, and technology awareness and the roadmap for us to follow. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back and talk more.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol.com. Visit today.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa provides homeowners and investors eager to invest well in real estate the knowledge, resources, and tools necessary to generate significant wealth. Our focus will be the paradigm. Live where you want. Invest where it makes the most sense. Listen live to the brightest minds in real estate investment every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. That's Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa, where America learns to invest.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back, folks. We were talking about the readiness check that an organization can do and what kind of upfront due diligence that they should, in fact, pick this up as MDM and run with it. Now, Aaron, since you come across, and of course we were talking about this during the break, you may want to just help us, understand that better. What are the typical ways people can look at doing the due diligence? And, what you've seen different flavors of due diligence out there, for them to see if MDM is for them and is this the right time for them to kickstart with?
Ooh, that's a sticky widget there because, because if you look at, how many of our companies want, how many of us in our companies want to tell the outside world and, expose our dirty laundry when it comes to how bad the customer data is, it's very hard to find references, for example, for these vendors that sell master data solutions for customer data in particular because most of them are showcase references, of course, they're groomed and Teflon and all that, but when you try to find an organization that will really tell you why they did it, how they did it, they're giving up strategic advantage. So it's very hard to find public showcases that will give you that level of detail. You have to be appreciative of that.
Robert?
Yeah, I think the biggest due diligence that I would do is looking at what the objectives are for the organization for the next, 12, 24, 36 months, and look at what fundamental business changes or business enhancements they want to make, and because that will tell you volumes as far as whether they're ready or whether they need to be ready for something like master data management. If they have a lot of goals around doing customer segmentation, customer profitability, or product profitability, or vendor spend analysis, or operational efficiencies, that will tell you what kinds of things they should be doing. So it may not be the burning platform yet, but it certainly will allow you the due diligence to see if they're, as an organization, ready to commit to doing something like that. I agree with Aaron. As far as the details of, what was it that actually tipped the barge or tipped the scale to actually spend the money and get it started, that's going to be very, very hard to glean from other companies because it is a bit of a competitive advantage, which shows how they responded to a problem. But I think in general, the fundamental business objectives that an organization is trying to pursue will tell you if they're ready for MDM and to what degree. And then I think that will lead the path to having the C-level conversations and then getting that message pushed out across the organization.
Yeah, in our case, it really wasn't a question of due diligence. We had an acute business issue that drove us in this direction. And to be quite honest with you, we didn't know what MDM was. We came up with a solution and then realized what we did was we put in an MDM solution. And I think companies our size, generally speaking, approach these type of things in that fashion. You know, we don't have the resources to do a lengthy due diligence around something like this. We had an acute business issue that was going to cost us business if we didn't solve it. So we jumped in with both feet.
I think Jim, with your consulting company, was due diligence of dollars.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, when we're talking about due diligence, I didn't want to sound like a vendor me waffling and sidestepping, because that's not my goal, but the idea is, you know, look for a reference. If we're talking about due diligence being reference checking and vendor vetting, you know, look for a use case that approximates your size of and complexity of problem, and pray that they're in your industry, albeit in a different geography that's not competitive. You know, but don't look for somebody who's in your industry, your size and scope of problem, to share their company secrets. You know, you won't get that.
And don't. This is Robert. Don't limit yourself to your industry, because a lot of these things as well. You know, a customer record across any business that's doing B2B business, you will find a lot of similarities in how they approach CDI. So don't limit yourself to your industry. And Aaron mentioned earlier, there's a lot of industries that are early adopters of this, that have been doing this for a number of years, that you can look to. There are a number of financial services institutions that have done this around their commercial or their consumer businesses, that even though if you don't sell those kinds of products, the act of integrating your customer data will have great similarities between the two. So don't limit yourself to your industry. Limit yourself around the subject areas, whether it's customer or vendor spend or employee or product, and see how they approach those. And you'll be amazed how much similarity you have between, you know, a company that that drills for oil and a company that packages lollipops. I mean, there's a lot of similarities in product, in customer, in vendor spend that really cut across industry segments and even size of the organization.
And one last question, just to have a minute for that. What is the right technology vendor and or right consulting partner? What's the kind of, how would you identify some of those? Because not everybody's as equipped to do that in-house just by themselves.
Well, in our case, we looked at a couple off-the-shelf products, product information management systems, and we realized that we couldn't afford any of them. And we had some nice development technologies in-house, and so we took the old plagiarize and customize approach and tried to, you know, kind of take some good ideas, make them our own, repackage them a little bit, and we developed the application internally.
Robert?
Yeah, so in this case, you know, Jim's absolutely right. We looked at a number of external sources, but then again, I would say, an unfair advantage. I mean, we are a data company. We've been doing this, you know, for 100 years, so I have an awful lot of internal expertise that I can draw on as far as, you know, building a customized solution for us. The one thing that I think is absolutely critical for anyone, no matter how tech-savvy or how deep your pockets are to buy software or hardware, is I would look at an external trusted source to help you, especially in the CDI space. There are a number of great sources that you can go to, whether it's commercial or consumer data, to say, you know, what actually are the master records that I should be working towards. So there's some fantastic companies, some which purely do a match for you, some which provide you with matching algorithms, some which go as far as actually you sending them the data and them actually doing the matching for you and saying, here's how these records tie together. So I would say if you're at the early stages of CDI, not sure how to pull together, you should spend at least as much, if not more, time talking to the folks that can help you with external reference data as you are talking to, you know, vendors that help you publish the data or manage your stewardship processes.
And Aaron here, you know, the MDM Institute, you know, by our name, that's what we do, and there's a lot of companies out there that do what we do, which is do that vetting. You know, we help do the evaluation processes, not for a fee, but in return for data. We're information brokers. So you could say the market's in flux a little bit because the mega vendors are acquiring technologies and acquiring companies, you know, whether it's Microsoft, SAP, Oracle, et cetera, are acquiring companies that help them round out their solutions. Likewise, the custom-built people have an increasing array of technologies available to them to build it themselves. The area where it's really slippery, I think, is the right consulting partners, because the service providers, you know, if you're an incumbent service provider, that doesn't mean you know what you're doing in this area, because in some ways it's relatively new, some of the products in particular and some of the strategies to use these products. So the incumbent systems integrator is not necessarily the incumbent winner. So there's a lot of work to be done out there to track the systems integrators and consultancies as to who's got good capabilities in which geography, in which industry, and in which product set, and in which business problem, because that's changing. You know, 6 months from now, every 6 months, basically, I see quite a change in the inventory of capabilities out there as individuals leave companies, the systems integrators and consultancies, or as other ones pop up, or as other ones improve themselves based on what they've done. So
that's
the real
story.
I'd really like
to thank you, Robert, Aaron, and Jim, for sharing your thoughts and insights about how organizations can successfully plan and execute their MDM strategy for maximum benefit for themselves.
Thank you, Sandro.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Aaron. Now, on the surface, implementing MTM looks like a Herculean task and some fear that it is going to be a flash in the pan, but that's only if you look at it as an overhyped IT initiative. It is, in fact, a change management issue which is appealing to the executive management, business unit leaders, and business users to start looking at the organization as one entity and accordingly help create one view of the information related to customers, products, employees, and vendors. And we understand that it is easier said than done. However, this has got significant benefits which may far outweigh the effort, cost, and the risks associated. So is there a reason why you would not want to implement MDM? And if you have, what challenges have you faced? Please send us your thoughts to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.